tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Buzz fans who are so into Grey's Anatomy, thanks a lot for coming back for another episode. Tonight's episode was called Bend in Break, and it is the fifth episode of the 11th season. I'm your girl, Star Session, and we've got...
Kelly, hello.
Hey guys, I'm Kristen Strange.
Kristen is back, so make sure you follow her. She's on Twitter, Kristen Strange.
At Kristen Strange.
Yes, so get her in on the conversation, and don't forget to continue using the hashtag GreysABTV. Okay, so tonight's episode was very much about Calzona.
Yes, and I see from Twitter that you know, a lot of you weren't really into it. Hated it.
What's going on?
And I have to say, I thought I was going to hate it going in, but kind of liked it.
Let's just say I hated it going in, but throughout the episode, it was an episode that we definitely needed because we have been talking about it for weeks. We've been over Calzona, yeah. And it kind of brought us back into what we loved about Calzona and what we still don't like about them, and we learned so much, mm-hmm. You know?
I liked the little snippets from back in the day, but I feel like they could have wrapped up their relationship a lot quicker. Mm. We didn't need a whole episode or a whole episode devoted to them because I didn't get any Meredith, I didn't get any Derek, I didn't get anyone else, and I feel like we could have used more storylines in there other than just
there them. Was so many patient stories, yeah, that I kind of couldn't true. Keep track of it.
Yeah.
But I honestly feel that it was great that we had a Calzona-centric episode, you yeah. know, because I got to get over them, and I think we're going to be over them now, yeah. You know what I mean? And now it gives us something more to talk about for the next episodes, because we were over them fighting, and now mm-hmm. we have something else to mm-hmm. talk about.
Yeah, absolutely agree, and I loved the flashbacks and the quick, you know, kind of going back and living through, because, you know, it really made me have a different take on Callie. Because, I mean, I know a lot mm-hmm. of times we say that both of them are selfish, but we always kind of let Callie be more of the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really not. I think they equally tormented and hurt each other just in very different ways. And I think the way that she kind of summarized it in the end was perfect. Because it, you know, when it becomes that much of a job,
we'll definitely get towards the ending. Let's just catch some people up that maybe didn't see the episode, mm-hmm. and let's start off with the beginning where it was kind of talking about the point of no return. Like sometimes things just bleed out, sometimes you can stitch things back up. And on this episode, we start off with them having a therapy session. Mm-hmm. Calzona was in their therapy session, and it started off with Arizona trying to just say how she felt. Mm-hmm. I feel like, Kelly, I love you. I feel like it was kind of obnoxious with the whole I feel.
I loved when it was in the OR. Mm-hmm. I feel like you should listen to me as a doctor. I was giggling.
Totally awkward for all the other surgeons.
Everyone was like looking at them. What are you talking about?
And everybody has to know their business and know that you know, what's going on. It's, yeah.
I know. I wish I was a fly on the wall or a surgeon in there. I could have been like, I feel annoyed by this conversation.
Exactly.
Like, totally annoyed. So annoying. So, I mean, it really started off with Arizona just trying to say how she felt. Mm-hmm. And Callie couldn't even allow the compliments to flood in before cutting her off.
She didn't let her finish her thoughts. Like, she kept ending the sentences and putting words in her mouth, which as they, you know, as you think about it, is one thing that, you know, one of her habits that she's, you know, that she does. And I didn't even really notice it as that big of an issue because she was cutting off the therapist. Like, she was cutting off everybody. She just automatically just knew the answer and was huffy and puffy and very, very angry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, I'm kind of that person, too. I will mm-hmm. cut you off off or pretend to finish your sentence so I can talk next. So I know how that is, and I'm kind of learning because, you know, I'm getting married, and I'm like, maybe I should, like, stop cutting him off sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, maybe I should let him have his word in edgewise. So, honey, this is to you. I'll try for a day.
Yeah. You took something away from their therapy session.
I took something away from this episode, so I'm proud of that. But, you know, I didn't realize that about her at all either. I mean, I know they're both strong personalities, yeah. and they're really, they butt heads a lot, but it really is the talking over that's kind of obnoxious because it's not even talking over. It's more about the fact that, like, she's making decisions for Arizona, she and Arizona can't really make decisions.
And she can't let her finish her thought. Like, I felt like watching their therapy session and watching Arizona's character, she kept, you know, like, sighing and kept would start talking and then stop. And it's like, and then Callie would jump in, and she couldn't even process what she was going to say in her head before it came out of her mouth, before she's automatically being cut off. And, you know, she's never been one of my favorites, and their relationship obviously has always, you know, we've had issues with. But that was just very interesting for me to see, is just watching, you know, watching the characters and watching how this therapy session was breaking them both down and what they came out of it with.
Well, I mean, okay, so before we move on with their therapy session, Callie, comes out of it and she's talking to Jackson and the chief, and she's just so rude to Jackson, like calling his ideas stupid. Like,
she started out in the beginning of this episode so angry, just hating everyone, mad at everything, and just everybody's stupid, and you know, everything is ridiculous, and she just is, you know, it was so intense, like all that anger, like, made me mad, like, you know, all of a sudden we're all mad in the room, you know, that the energy was so strong.
So crazy. I would be angry too though, if I was having issues like that with my wife, and then she decided that she wanted to go on a break, I would be pretty angry too, because that was Arizona's decision. Callie was against it all the way up until she said, fine, whatever, I don't care anymore, let's do it.
Yeah, so, I mean, the fact that they're going to go on this 30-day break is what they decide. And, you know, when it comes down to it, Arizona was so kind of on board right away. The moment she brought it up, she was nodding. You know, that nod.
She
and then
was a little
Callie
too on board, she was I think.
A little too on board. Why do you say that?
A break? Great idea. Normally, I would think a therapist kind of has to talk patients into that a little bit, because I don't think most people in relationships would be willing to take a break and just see what happens, because in most experiences, staying away from your partner would be counteractive.
I mean, you don't think, you know, you never know what you've got till it's gone. You know, like that old saying that you really...
Look at you. Philosophical over there, Kelly.
I'm on Arizona's side with that, because I think sometimes when you're spending, I mean, they work together, they live together.
That's true.
That's really intense, and that's a lot of time together. So when your life is already so much about someone else, and they're in every you're in every aspect of each other's life, there's no real separation.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
That becomes a lot of pressure. And then, you know, I feel like that just makes a relationship being together like that much harder. And I get it. If you really love each other, that's great. And, you know, being all together all the time is fantastic. But you still kind of need your own life. You need a little bit of air.
I would have to say that every single relationship goes through this.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If you even just step outside of the relationship and maybe go back to when you lived at home with mom. Like, mom got on your nerves a few times and you needed a break from mom and you wanted to go spend the night at Reagan's house.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
A night is different than 30 days. And then Arizona goes, 3 months I could do.
Yes, 6 months.
She went into 6 months. Yeah.
I can't imagine spending that much time away from my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Like, I would go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, after, like, some time with my man, I can see how I would want
a day,
24 hours,
a weekend away,
a girl's trip.
Yeah, I feel like that's really important. But like,
but again, I think you got to go back to. I mean, think about your relationship. You go to work, you go, you know, you have a separate life.
Yeah,
and then you guys have your life together. They don't have that. Mm-hmm. Their married life, their work, like everything is together.
It's
like
together,
that's a lot.
It is a lot,
and I feel like it was kind of the same thing with Meredith and Derek, except when they went and did their research things, and they each had that.
Right.
So that was a little bit of a separation. Even with the fellowship, Callie's giving Arizona such a hard time about it, about, you know, all of that. So it's like she can't even go and have that. You know,
well,
you know
I don't think that the fellowship was the right timing.
No, I absolutely don't either, especially trying to have a family and all that. And I feel like she should have been more open and honest about that situation. But again, with the cutting off and the, you know, Callie being very accusatory about everything, and you know it's hard.
But what I would have to say is though that she is. I think it was too soon for it. She's too soon for the fellowship. Sorry. When it comes down to it, Callie wasn't her cheerleader. You know,
not
like, my
all.
Other half is totally my cheerleader, yeah. Even if it's, like, too much on my plate.
She tried to be a little bit, but, you know, when they were talking about balancing it all, we can do it all, we're a power couple, we
I
can do this, we can
so
do that.
I think she was so attached to the baby, mm-hmm. the idea of the baby, that she lost sight of anything else. She wanted that baby, and this fellowship made it impossible for them, or really, really difficult for them to have a baby. So I can see why she isn't. But still, it's not right, but I could totally understand why she, because she wants the baby, that's all.
But I think, I said this before, like, the baby, I was like, the baby can't be a Band-Aid, and I think that what it was.
Philosophical and once again, Kelly. Like, you know? I totally agree. The kid would have been a Band-Aid, but, you know, now that we're talking about the fellowship, she's not doing so well in this fellowship.
No, she's not.
Miss, Gina Davis, but her name is, and we need to get to know it, is Dr. Herman. Mm-hmm. I think it's hilarious.
The
worst name ever. Thank you for piggybacking on that, Kristen, because I totally agree.
Like, I was writing it down. Dr. Herman.
Yeah.
Terrible choice.
I know. I can't wait. Do we have her first name yet? Do we get that? Fans out there, I'm sure you guys already know.
I'm sure we do.
Hit us up on the hashtag GraysABT right now.
Yes.
ABTV right now. Mm-hmm. While we're talking about our fans, let's throw out some shout outs. Of who is tweeting with us right now. We got Dynamite Jack is on the line tweeting. Let's see. And we have G Cruz 172. Hey Asama is tweeting with us right now. We've got Meg Z3 saying, what's going on with Meredith lurking in the shadows?
You know, awesome.
I think Meredith was very comic relief this episode.
She was very much
comic relief, which was something we rarely get to see from her. Kind of, and the interaction with her and Callie was really cute. I liked that.
They became each other's person this episode.
They did. It was really cute, and just kind of the way that she handled it, and when Callie's having a little bit of a meltdown, and, you know, Meredith asked the wrong question, and she's like, hey, I've got my own stuff.
I've got my own stuff.
The way that she said it in such a cute voice. Yeah.
I feel like
a little kid, like, sorry.
I'm glad she wasn't angry this episode. If I had another Meredith angry episode, it's like, have a good day. Be more optimistic.
And Callie was angry for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, no one else could have been angry in this episode. It would have been,
they
like,
all
way
need a
too
vacation.
Much. Yes.
Ooh,
like
a vacation.
A tropical island somewhere. Mm-hmm. Just bring the kids, play on the sand.
Could you imagine if they did an episode like that? That would just be so, like, left field. We probably wouldn't even like it.
No.
But they need it.
Yeah.
They totally need it.
Oh, what did Callie say? Real,
Real MD. Housewives MD of Seattle.
Real MD Housewives of Seattle.
Lesbian Housewives MD of Seattle.
I love that. So fun.
I know. That would be a hit show.
So Meredith and Callie were hanging out. I always want to say Calzona every time when I start off with Callie. But Meredith and Callie were hanging out a lot this episode, and they had their first drinking game or drinking night where they
tequila is always the answer.
Tequila is always the answer.
I love when Meredith drinks tequila.
Yeah,
Meredith and tequila. That can be on my TV all the time.
Yeah, she's hot and her husband's... What was her line? She's hot and
my husband's an idiot.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. She was back to her cute one-liners when she's drunk, because we all love when Meredith is drunk. But it was Callie that went home, which, how did she get home? Did she Uber it? Did she walk home?
Let's just say for her sake, she Ubered it.
She Ubered it.
She can afford it.
Yeah. Okay. So she heads home, and she she's lurking in on Arizona, who was sleeping and studying
awkward.
And then they kiss, and they break the rule of 30 days, no talking, no sex, just take care of the child. So, I mean, honestly, like, they had to start all over again to day one. How do you feel about that?
I kind of knew that wouldn't work. 30 days in the same house. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to talk to each other. And I don't know, how old is Sophia now? Because we haven't seen her forever. She's like, what, 5, 4?
She should be running around in the background.
Yeah. Do we think that she doesn't notice that her moms aren't talking? I mean...
I agree with you, but I think in our lovely land of Grey's Anatomy, these kids are not, they're just robots. Like, in the room. Like, they're not really real.
It's a decision for the therapist to tell you, don't talk.
Yeah.
Because you have a child, so you can live together, but you can't communicate.
That's it was very strange.
Yeah, that was really odd.
But you know, we have a tweet. You know, people on Twitter are asking us, do we think it's really over for them for these two,
or do we think
it's going to kind of linger? And I mean, obviously, it's not completely. They have a lot of things to kind of iron out. There's a lot of paperwork, and you know, all of that, and they really have to figure something out. But you know, I don't.
Okay, well, I definitely want to touch on that, but. I think that's going to be closer towards the prediction because I don't, there's a lot of things that I would have to comb over to see if this is going to be over. Mm-hmm. I'm over it.
Yeah.
But is it going to be over? Probably not. Right?
Like, yeah.
Probably not.
I think that something will have to happen to make it over.
Oh, so there's going to be some more drama that's going to happen.
I think that they will both have some back and forth a little bit. Maybe even if it's just emotionally and not physically or like internally, we hear their thoughts or something. But I think that something will have to happen with one or the other of them that makes them both just cut off completely from it. But obviously, they still have a kid, so.
Well, it's interesting that they ended the episode. We'll just go ahead and spoil it. They ended the episode and they split it. They split up.
Yeah.
Or they're, you know, they left it as if they were going to split up. But it was really interesting that when she didn't come home that one night, and Arizona was like kind of worried and
jealous
and all that stuff, Callie loved it. It made her feel validated. So that little moment and glimmer of all of that, and it makes me seem like makes me feel like they're going to get back together. As well as Callie was the one always initiating the sexual tension between them and the kissing and breaking all the rules. I mean, yes, Arizona talked to her once about where were you last night, but besides that, she
stuck to it.
She stuck to it.
Yeah,
you know. So are they going to last? Is Callie going to be the one that comes back?
Well, it was very interesting for me for it to be Callie, the one that actually said, that did the breaking up. Like, I was, you know, I was really surprised. But then, you know, thinking back and as we were watching the episode, I think she really related to the patient that got her arm stuck in the noodle maker.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the, like, the shots of pain and just the way that she was complaining. And then, you know, they finally, Derek figures out actually what's wrong with her. Callie has a little bit of a freak out in that kind of scenario. But then when the girl is finally better, the speech that she gave was, you know, I think I can finally get through this and there's no more pain and I'm going to be okay. And all of these, it's just kind of her reaction and thinking about it when they flash back and all of that. I think that that's when she realized, you know, and that's when she started.
You know what? I didn't pick up on that. I mean, I know that there was, I thought the, her speech about her arm being better now, I thought that was more towards the fact like we are going to be able to get through it as a couple. And I didn't see the connection of we are, I'm going to be okay. If we're, you know, once I get past the turmoil of the hurt and the pain, I will be okay. So I love that you put that together like that.
Yeah, I mean, and then she talks about, you know, no more popping pills to, you know, to ease the pain. And that to me was kind of like, you know, the baby trying to be the Band-Aid and trying to do everything for you. Like that. It's just kind of really looking at the situation and really looking for herself because she's, when she's complaining and she says, everything I've done for you. Although she has been the one to make all the decisions. And we had another tweet where they said that most of the time we see Calzona from Callie's point of view. Very rarely do we see it from Arizona's. So this time listening to her talk and kind of getting more into that is something that we rarely see. So, and I think in that sense, like Callie's been trying to fight so hard to make this work. Like she's overbearing a little bit. She's really just kind of, you know, trying to fit, you know, a round thing in a
well, I
know,
think it was that moment
around hole kind of a thing.
I think it was that moment when she went into the room and she just threw something away and then Meredith came around the corner. I think that was the moment when she was, when she said, like, I don't really have anyone to talk to.
Yeah.
She doesn't really have any friends or a person or anything like that. And when you're in a relationship like this where you don't have that outside or, you know, you're talking to your child and that's it, like, that's, it's gonna be hard on you. And of course you're gonna harp on the other person.
Right.
And you're gonna be, you know, you're needy on that other person. It's so not healthy.
Too much.
And so not healthy.
Meredith said how Christina was, she told Callie how Christina was so important.
The third wheel.
She was so important in her and Derek's relationship because whenever they had problems, Meredith went to Christina and Christina was always there and she had someone to vent to and someone to talk to and someone to have a separate relationship with. And if Callie doesn't have that, then I can see how her and Arizona wouldn't have the strength that Meredith and Derek have had because she doesn't have her person.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys think that she needs a person, who would it be? Definitely go to our hashtag GraysABTV. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We need those 5 stars to keep the lights on here, as well as get back on to watching our show on YouTube. We love when the YouTube people are having so much fun on the comment sections. Mm-hmm. The thread just goes on and on and on, and I absolutely love it. So make sure you tell a friend, share it, like, comment, and subscribe. All that good stuff and more.
Yes.
So, okay, let's go into all these different patient stories. We had a lot, and
we had a baby with a split esophagus that they had to fix. That was an interesting one.
And it showed that Karev, who is now the head of pediatrics, can hold his own.
Yeah.
He does know what he's doing. So it showed that, what's her name? Arizona was kind of lingering on the floor and wanted to make decisions for her patients that she's passed on to Karev. But Karev didn't want to do the route that she wanted to do. Mm-hmm. He had another plan in mind that would work faster. Now, I'm not sure how that really worked. Did I miss something? Did he choose his plan, or did he continue down the road with her plan of inching the esophagus?
He did hers
esophagus?
At first.
But I think he ended with his own.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, and you guys, correct us if we're wrong, because,
we just walk over here right after we watch it.
We didn't get a chance to kind of go back and look. But from what I took from it initially, that's what I thought, is he ended up doing his own.
Right. So, I mean, I just love that Karev told her off and was like, you need to get off my floor. We were like, Karev!
I know. He's like, you chose me to do this job. Let me do it. Get out of my face. Like, this is enough.
Love, I think, Karev. She's still so invested in those kids, though. I don't think her fellowship is going to last, because even when they took the baby out, she's asking Alex, how's the baby? How's the baby?
She even snuck in, and Joe was like, I'm not telling on my man.
And Dr. Herman's like, that's not your patient. This is your patient. And I don't think she's connected that yet. So maybe she will and learn to love it. Or maybe she'll go back to be a pediatric surgeon.
Well, it looks like she's on her way out of that fellowship. She's on 2 strikes, and Dr. Herman's not having that third one.
She loves it. She loves those kids, and she loves that surgery, and she's so good at it. Why does she need something else?
Well, the thing is, when she was working on the fellowship, and I love the guy in the pink. Oh, I never figured out
Graham,
who he is.
Yeah.
The guy in the pink scrubs let us know what show was he on before this, or where do we know his face from? We really, really liked him in this episode because he was
in pink scrubs,
and he was really cute. Have to note that. But I just loved how he was like kind of a goody two shoes, and I love how Gina Davis was like, I'm gonna have to do some plastic surgery to get those lips off my ASSS. I added a lot of S's.
She is a great character. I think she has great little one-liners, and I just love her little snib bits.
Mm-hmm.
She was such a little bee to Arizona, though, when she was talking to Amy about Addison. And Arizona was friends with Addison, and she's, I don't want to talk to you. You're my fellow. You're not important.
Well, I don't think it's
not
that.
Friends. It's professional.
She's keeping it professional, and she's behind in the fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Let's be real. Nobody in Grey's Anatomy is professional with their supervisor.
That's true. But Gina Davis came in and put the whip on it.
She did.
She's only 5 infant surgeries on the west of the Mississippi. Line was ridiculous.
She is pretty awesome.
I know. She took it to the next level. But, this Gina Davis Karis, I think she's going a little too high strung.
She is.
She could run her course a little sooner than I think. So she kind of needs to, we need to get that likability. We kind of like her because she's a hard ass, but I want to
like her more. I need more reason to like her.
I need more reason to like her. And it's cool that she's doing all this stuff with babies that are inside the utero. Was that right?
The utero.
The uterus.
The uterus.
Don't say the utero surgeons.
Yeah.
This episode was definitely heavy on the terminology. I was like, what? That's fine. Moving on. There was a lot going on. So let's move on to the next patient. So the baby ended up being able to be held. And the esophagus went back together.
That Alex did it his own way because it was too quick. Mm-hmm. They were saying it could take months for the, for Arizona's way. So I'm thinking he went in and did used the colon or whatever he said he was going to use and did
that. The dad changed his tune real quick.
Yeah, he even hugged him.
Oh, the daddy was cracking the whip on Karev.
And then he's hugging him at the end.
And Alex is always so awkward. He's like, don't touch me.
Yeah, he doesn't like to be touched.
He needs to practice his hugs.
At all.
I want to go to Twitter really quick. We've got a Dynamite Jack that's saying, Arizona needs a person, and Arizona has April.
They do. They're great people.
They have. They. She's got April. She's got her friend that was helping her over and studying and making Jello molds. Yeah. And
I love that I saw April in this episode. Mm-hmm. She even had her. What was her salad? She was gonna make her a salad. Family recipe.
Was it like the ambrosia?
Ambrosia.
Yes.
She got all fancy with it. I was like, and she's hiding that baby bump because you know she's further along than she's supposed to be in the show. Blah blah blah. That's fine.
I can tell. I thought that was just her baby bump. Wow. She grew fast.
Yeah. No. Yeah. She's definitely hiding a little bit for the show, and I can't wait to touch on that in the next few episodes. And then we have the hip replacement.
Yeah, thyroid cancer.
The thyroid cancer turned in, you know, he had a tumor in his hip. And Callie had to work on, was it Callie?
Yeah.
Who had to work
Callie
on this patient?
Meredith.
Callie
mm-hmm.
and Meredith. And they saw that he needed a hip replacement. And if he didn't have the hip replacement, then
the cancer would spread.
But with the hip replacement, it was just a temporary fix because 15 years down the road, he would probably need a new one. Mm-hmm. And so when they went into surgery, they found out that they couldn't do the hip surgery because it was worse than they thought.
The damage was more than what they originally thought that it was, and so they were kind of at a loss. So there was nothing. He had no hip now. There was like a metal rod or something holding his leg to his body.
Yeah, they took out the tumor. They got back to they sewed him all up. They cleaned him up, and they just told the wife. And the wife was distraught. Like, why would you do this? And it was like, Callie was having a really bad month. Like, she couldn't come up with solutions faster than she usually can.
Right. Because she's usually brilliant. She has the most creative ideas for everything.
Yeah, but if you're distracted in your personal life, you're distracted in life.
Everything.
You know, that's just how it is. And it was really cute when they went to the bar, Meredith and Callie, again, her person, and they split a burger.
Because while they're in surgery, Callie doesn't want anyone to know, the other person in the room to know about, you know, the break, so they start talking about a diet and start talking about sex as cheeseburgers.
Yeah, so it was the code word, which I thought was really cute. I love this episode, and I love Shonda's writing, or whoever's writing this episode, because they always use really cute, like, sayings and words and the diet and the cheeseburger. But when they split open that pickle, did that not make you want a pickle?
I want a pickle right now.
Like, I really want a pickle. Like, can we get pickles?
But when I saw Meredith, I don't like pickles.
What do you not like about a pickle?
It's kind of gross. It's salty and so good.
And the vinegar.
I will say, though,
crunch.
When I saw Meredith munching on those fries, I wanted fries.
No.
That's my thing. Fries.
It was the pickle. So anyways, they cut open the pickle and they realize that if they split this guy's other femur, they can use it and graft it. And, ooh, I sound like I knew what I'm talking about. I can perform surgery. And so it was a solution, and it made Callie feel like she was back to who she is again, which was really, really awesome.
Yeah.
And the surgery ended up being successful, and weeks later, or days later, he was able to walk and put pressure on it. So that was that patient story.
Happy ending.
Happy ending.
That was a good one. So we had the noodle arm, the baby, the hip replacement. Were those the big three main ones, I think?
Yeah, and then the Indian lady who had the fetal surgery. And
yes, the fetal surgery.
Arizona
obviously
was not prepared because the night before their 30 days was up, they had sex. You know?
Yeah.
And then the next morning she gets into work and she realizes that they're doing a surgery today and not the next day. So really she wasn't prepared.
That's a tough surgery.
How could Dr. Herman have expected her to be prepared when she had thought the surgery was the next day? I mean, I get that she should have been practicing, but she still had 24 hours to practice. So I don't think that was fair of Dr. Herman to say, this is your second strike, because it was kind of a scheduling conflict, not so much as
I agree with you
being unprepared.
I agree with you, but I think it was more of a test, because earlier when she was like, I was prepared for this, but she stepped back because she wasn't prepared for cutting the incision the day before, you know, Dr. Herman was excited for her, was proud of her. What's the word?
Well, commended her for it.
Yeah.
He respected that she did that and was like, you know, she knows her limits. She does that, you know, to put her ego aside for the safety of the patient.
And so I felt like this was another test for her to be like, you know what, I'm actually not, I mean, to be not prepared is the wrong word to say, but like, I thought we had 24 hours, I don't feel comfortable, maybe would have been the right words. Because
it would have been the same answer that she gave the last time. I haven't practiced that much, you know, because this other guy was doing it for like 2 months.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's a hard thing. I mean, you're sticking a needle through a stomach into a baby's heart that's barely there.
Ugh.
Like, that's crazy.
Like she said, there's no room for error.
No.
It has to be precise or else bad things happen.
Ooh, yeah. That could have went bad. But I like that she stopped her. You know what I mean? Because she didn't look. She wasn't prepared.
She was
like, period. She just wasn't prepared, and that's just how it goes. And sometimes that happens in life. But I think this third strike is right around the corner, and this fellowship's going to be over.
Or maybe she won't even get to the third strike, and she'll just step back on her own and say, "You know what? I wasn't ready for this, and this isn't what I want. I love my patients as they are, outside of the utero."
Outside of the utero.
Maybe not so much that she's not ready for it. It's just not for her. Like when she got into it, it's just like, you know, I'd rather, you know, be working with the kids.
Yeah.
I don't. The tiny humans.
And she's so great with them. Whenever we see her interact with children, she's so great with the kid patients.
Just not her own, because we never see her child.
Does she ever see her child?
No. I love when they were, like, putting her to sleep and, like, coming out of the door, like, night, night.
No one's in there.
Like, we know no one's in that room. Like,
I'm so confused at why they couldn't have cast a child for one scene. It doesn't cost that much, Grey's Anatomy.
No.
It's one kid.
It's
for 15 seconds.
I know we come...
I'd like to see her once.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I don't come for the kids. I don't watch the show for the kids. Mm-hmm. But it's more realistic if they would just put some kids in the show when they have kids. You know what I mean?
Well, Meredith seems to be able to go to the bar at a drop of a hat.
I know. Right? Like,
take shots and sing about vaginas.
They have so Amy crazy. Now. That was the best part.
The vaginas.
Vagina. Oh, speaking of songs. So there was that song in the middle of the episode, and it was like, I could just go to therapy 2 to 3 times a day.
It's like therapy.
It was by Mary J. Blige. I Shazammed it in the middle of the episode. That song was the only song in the episode, and it was a hot mess, but totally on point, though.
It was great.
Totally on point.
With the storyline.
Yeah, it really was.
Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty funny.
I think we basically hit it all. I mean, is there anything that we're really missing on tonight's episode?
I mean, the big thing is... You know, we don't know where anything stands really with anyone else other than these two. And it's, you know, what do you think? Where are they going to go from here?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the break definitely helped each of them kind of step back and take a look at their life and, you know, think about what they really wanted.
Yeah.
And Arizona, you know, I think that she, you know, her speech was awesome. And I think it was really, but I don't know if I believe if it was really that heartfelt. I think that she wants to feel that way, but I don't know if I believe that she really truly does. I think kind of, but not as matter-of-factly as the way that she said it. Because after Kelly gave her little speech, it looked like she was kind of relieved.
Right.
You know?
I mean, honestly, with her not being prepared for the surgery with the... Mm-hmm. The baby inside the baby, the belly, whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought that they were going to go into that therapy session saying, we need another 30 days.
Yeah, I
thought
did too.
That's what she was going to say.
Yeah, I did
because
too.
She clearly needs time to focus on this fellowship, and she clearly needs time to, because the relationship is getting in the way. Mm-hmm. And I thought that she was going to come in with the speech of like, can we try 30 more days? I know we're close to being back to what we are, but can we try it? That's what I thought she was going to say, and she didn't. You know, she was, I feel like I love you. I feel like, you know, it was back to, like, it was kind of like a put-on speech. Like, I'm with you on that, Kelly.
Yeah, you know, and a part of me thinks that it's because she's the one that left in the first time. She's the one that cheated. Like, so I feel like she couldn't have been the one this time to break up.
Mm.
You know, I feel like that a little bit of guilt may have played into that she wants to feel, because I'm sure, I mean, they love each other. Yeah. I mean, that's obvious. They have great chemistry with each other, and, you know, they're still attracted to each other. They've been through a lot.
Yeah.
And
I think it made it all the more final, though, that Callie said it.
Yeah.
Because Callie has been trying so hard, and for her, it was kind of just like a light switch. Oh, this is what I've been fighting for, and now I don't need to, because look at the life I can have, even if you're not here.
She was hysterical, though. It was like,
she was
the tears were in her throat. Did you guys see that?
It was like,
I don't think that.
She was sobbing.
I'm sure it affects her a lot, because they've been together for 5 years, and they're married, and they've created a life, but sometimes you get that far, and it doesn't work anymore.
It wasn't working a long time ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But they could have, they could get through this. Clearly, there's that attraction there, and clearly they do like each other because they want to talk to each other. So they could and still can get through this.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Callie was so distraught on breaking her heart and by breaking up with her. I feel like that's why she was crying, because she was like kind of
like
sad.
Sorry, thanks for all the great things you just said, but
yeah, but I gotta go.
Yeah,
but it was, again, we go back to Arizona, who was earlier in the episode nodding like, oh, 30 days off, and she just was like, oh, you're breaking up with me. Let me act like I should be teary-eyed right now.
She got a little teary. She got a little teary.
30 seconds too late, okay? Like, I needed, like...
Well, I think she was in shock. I mean...
Yeah, I think so, too.
Callie's been, like, pounding them into the ground. Like, we will be together.
And pounding that alcohol.
Yeah, but, you know... But,
I think wine from the bottle.
I know. Dynamite Jack is like, I think Callie has a drinking problem. I'm like, I do, too.
I think that... I think one of Callie's main problems in this relationship, and even with her past, you know, relationships that we've seen her in, she goes all in headstrong with just that one person and makes them her whole life. She doesn't have friends. She doesn't have anything. And Mark was her friend, but she was also sleeping with him. Yeah. So she doesn't have like a friend.
No, she doesn't. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, you didn't do that with your friends?
Well, you know.
That's exactly what I was saying. She needs that person, and... Meredith's not going to last for long being her person. I don't know who else is going to be her person if Meredith moves back to Caress.
I have a couple ideas. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it can be either be Owen or it can either be Jackson, because those are really the only two people.
It's going to have to be Jackson, because she's totally going to sleep with Owen.
She's going to sleep. Yeah,
she needs a platonic friend.
Do you guys remember how we had an episode a couple seasons back with Meredith's like vision of what her life would have been like if her mom and Richard were together?
Oh, yeah. Yes. How did that go down? Do you remember?
And in that episode of what would have been, Callie and Owen were together. They were married, and they had, like, 12 kids. Okay.
Foreshadowing. But,
right? Foreshadowing. They had, like, 3 or 4 or 5.
Yeah. I don't remember.
So I'm going to have to go back and look that one up.
I know, right?
You go, girl. I feel like it was foreshadowing, because this season, I've been feeling like she's going to get with Owen.
Yeah.
Owen wants that family. Yeah, and I mean, they could adopt, or, you know, he could put his guys into someone else's egg and get a surrogate. And
yeah. Wait, what?
Because Callie can't have kids.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I was like, what? Why can't they just have sex?
I mean, they can do that also, but it's not going to work.
That's right. I always forget about that. I feel like even that blurb of time just like went by too fast. Yeah.
Or maybe they'll find some way that makes it so she can. Maybe there's like a surgery she can undergo, or a treatment, or a...
I don't know.
Well, you know, we've got... I think that's, you know, Shonda actually posted once that, you know, these two were meant for each other. So do we really think that it's final after the fourth breakup? And, you know, and who knows?
They were meant for each other then.
Well, I think that the writers have been having us disconnect from them for a while.
Yeah.
Because they've had such a strong fan base. Besides Meredith and Derek, people are really Calzona. They want Calzona. And I think that so the writers have slowly been inching us away from them and making them a less likable couple.
So we can get back to Meredith, so
that they can eventually separate and everyone's not going to be so angry.
I mean, I want to see Callie have a little bit of her own life. Like this project that she's working on with Owen and Jackson. Vets. Like all of that. Just really kind of get into that and like kind of give her, like stop trying so hard to make it happen. I think when you put so much pressure on to another person into a certain situation, it's just... You kind of counteract. It's counterproductive, I think, because it's just it's too hard, and then nobody wants to deal with it, and people just like give up. Hence the 6 months. I'll do 6 months of separation.
Yeah,
you know, because it's just like I don't want to deal with that. You know, sorry, I don't want to deal with your shit. Like, give me a break. Just give me a break. Is where I feel like Arizona was like, get off my back. Stop putting words in my mouth. Stop. You know, yelling at me about every little thing, and just let me breathe. Yeah. Give me a second.
She needs to be her own person, and I think this is going to be the real break, and I think they might get back together, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I think this break is going to be good for them. Not a fake break of you're down the hall and we're pretending not to talk to each other. I think it worked. I think because the therapist said it. In this situation, we will find out if you guys want to get back together, or someone really wants to leave, or you will find out who you are. And it was weird to find out that Callie is the one that really wants to leave and needs to leave, because she needs to get back to who she is and loving herself. Yeah. I thought that was really cute.
And yeah, I remember in the beginning, Callie was such a strong, independent person. You know, she used to dance around in her underwear.
Oh, over that line. But yeah,
She needs to get back to dancing.
But that's my favorite Callie. She's so carefree and so fun, and she just had so much going for her. She was an up and coming, you know, hard ass surgeon, and now she's in a relationship, and I feel like she lost some of that.
Yeah, no, Callie is like. Her character is, like, over if she's in this relationship.
Yeah.
But Callie can live on and be that character that we fell in love with when she came.
Because
when she came in, we were like, who's this new girl?
Yeah.
We like her, you know? And now it's just, like, she can go with Arizona. But now that they're apart, she can stay and Arizona can go.
Yeah.
I don't know. Arizona's hair did look amazing tonight.
It was so shiny.
Yeah. It looked phenomenal.
I want to know what they used.
I like how Mary had a fishtail. Rocket girl.
She had a fishtail. She was... Because it wasn't about her. I feel like they, like, toned her down.
Yeah.
Just because, you know,
don't look
with
so
the hair.
Amazing.
Yeah, don't look so amazing in those scrubs, girl. You better not. So I think we hit it all. What do you guys think?
No, I think so, too. I think, you know, we need to see these girls have separate lives and kind of see where it goes. And, you know, you learn a lot of stuff, after a breakup. You kind of can have time to reflect and, you know, you kind of go back to the beginning and can really... kind of piece it together and figure it out. And I want to watch that. Like, that's something I want to watch from these two. If we have to have more of them, like, that's what I want to see.
If we have to.
Then that's what I want to see. I'm tired of the yelling and the screaming. I want to see them actually. And that's what I liked about this episode.
That means we're going to go into Meredith and Derek screaming. And that's going to get annoying.
People stop screaming so much.
Meredith just cannot be put in a life-threatening situation again. No. Like, I can't deal with that.
It might be kind I don't know. All right, so let's move into news and gossip.
Yeah, you got some?
I have something.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So my weekly US magazine. Us Weekly came in the mail, and I was reading that... I was about to call her Meredith. What's her real name in real life?
Ellen Pompeo.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I was reading that her first child was actually through a surrogate. Uh-huh. And I know that we were talking about when did she have the second child. But in the magazine, she reveals that her first surrogate was the same person that did her second child as well. And she's a great girl, and she's an interesting, you know, it's interesting that she went through that.
She had both of them through surrogate?
Through a surrogate.
Wow.
And so that's kind of all she said and touched on it was that, you know, yes, this is what happened, and they're both thrilled and they're excited and they're glad that they got to be home with the baby for a few weeks before they released the news with the second baby. So I just kind of wanted to give you guys that tidbit because we were like, where'd this surrogate come from and why? So I don't know if she can have kids or if she can't. She didn't reveal that in the interview, but she did use a surrogate for the first child and the second. So that's my little news and gossip. Do you guys have anything?
Her kids are so cute.
I know.
They're adorable.
Adorbs. All right, let's move into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Kelly, let's start us off with some predictions.
Ooh, okay, well, I think that, we're definitely going to see more of that Meredith and Derek fight come back. I think, they're going to hit pause for maybe an episode or two, but it's going to come back, and I think it's going to come back really strong. And I think Meredith's just going to be at the point where I would like to see her treat the situation the way she was talking about it with Callie. Just, like, kind of in that, you know, whatever, this is a real situation. Like, you know, deal with it. This is the choice you make. And just kind of being very kind of a little bit funny but matter-of-fact about it. And just kind of like, Derek, what is your deal? Like, figure it out. Not so much like the angry fighting and all of that, but just kind of look, this is a choice you made. Here's the situation. This is what it is. Deal with it or not.
Ooh.
That's kind of what I want to see her kind of take that approach with it.
Well, we'll see.
And just, you know, as she's throwing back tequila.
I think they should start off with throwing back the tequila and see where, but that could end up in a fight, but who knows? Who knows? Kristen?
I think that, number one, I think Arizona is going to quit her fellowship. I don't think she's going to stay there for long. And I think, since I already predicted that Callie and Owen are going to get together, I think that the way that they're going to get together is that Owen is going to have feelings for her first, and she's going to be kind of caught off guard with it, and then eventually it'll...
I love your predictions. Awesome. They're, like, really fun and, like, thought out. I like it.
I like it. I just feel like I'm telling the future.
The future. We'll see if that comes true. Is that it? Is that all you have?
Yeah, that's all I've got.
Okay, so let's see. Well, we see that on next week's episode that Derek is going to be, or he encourages Meredith to invite her sister to dinner. And I think that's where the fight, I think she's going to come to dinner and the fight is just going to go down next week. And I am really, really excited about that. But with that said, I really don't think that we're going to really jump into the Owen and
I don't think that'll
Callie
come
thing
for a while.
Right away.
No, I mean, we need time to grieve.
A little bit.
Yes. 3 episode minimum.
Or maybe she will just like throw him into an on-call room as like a rebound.
Get off of my mind, yeah.
I mean, could.
Predictions.
Yeah, she could. I don't know. Been known to happen.
So let's rate this episode before we go. I would rate this episode about a 7.9.
Okay.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty
good.
I mean,
I didn't go into it liking it. I was like, really? We got to do this all episode. But I ended up loving it.
Yeah, I agree. I would say about the same.
Okay.
I didn't like it as much, especially because it followed after last week's episode, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The best.
Amazing, and I missed it.
I can't believe it.
The best in seasons, I think. And so it was a hard act to follow. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay, we're in the 7s. We're pretty close. Yes, it was a good episode. It wasn't the best. But, you know, it was really flashback heavy like last week. It was kind of like we were watching the same episode, but not as good. So it kind of like didn't fall right.
Yeah.
Something happened.
But I liked that it gave me, I like that I got a new opinion about both of these characters. And that always makes a good episode for me personally, is if I can take away and look at them in a different way and kind of, especially after 11 seasons of this show, just to be able to, you know, kind of look at them and say, oh, I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah,
cool.
That's true.
And we got closure. I feel like I got closure.
Got closure, and I got to see that Arizona really doesn't have a leg because they never really show her limping or anything like that.
And I feel like they could both be happy after seeing this. I feel like they could both be happy without each other, which makes me feel good about them separating if that's what they decide to ultimately do.
All right, guys. I want to hear your predictions on our YouTube page as well as on
iTunes
and
Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know where my social media brain is going. All right, well, I'm Star Session, and we'll see you guys next time. Make sure you follow me at StarSession. And I'm doing a food drive, so I want you guys to make sure you follow me, and I'll give out more information on how you guys can donate, okay?
Awesome.
Girls.
And you can follow me at Kelly with an IE079 on all the social media platforms.
You can follow me on Twitter at Kristen Strange and on Instagram at Kristen Aubrey Strange.
All right, guys, we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.